Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. Okay, now it's your turn. Thank you for your help with the girls. As I said, this is the final week of our Ten Commandments series, and I thought that it would be fun to start off with a little quiz with awesome prizes. I know you guys love your Sonic cards, so here we go. Don't just shout out an answer. If you know it, you have to raise your hand, all right? And let me call on you so that it's all fair and all of that kind of stuff. Number one. We call them the Ten Commandments, but in Hebrew, the commandment is debar or debre, which means, all right, Lee had her hand up super quick. What does it mean? Word. It means word. These are God's 10 words for his people. Give her a hand. She was quick at it. All right, number two, the commandments are divided into two tables. The first commandments, or the first set of commandments, are the blank table. Oh, come on. The blank table. Two tables, one that goes horizontal. It's the vertical table. I'm going to give this to your friend so you guys can go get Sonic together because she's too quick. So it's the vertical table. The vertical table is first, and it connects us to the vertical table connects us to God. There we go. I'm going to give Kelly this one because I think you prompted her, but connects us to God. Okay, the second is the come on, everybody should know this. What, Tucker? Horizontal. Which table?
Horizontal.
Horizontal. I think Amanda helped you out, but I'm going to give it to you because I called on you. And the horizontal table connects us to each other. So Amanda did too. I'm going to give her that one. All right. Okay, now this one's a tricky one. This is the third one. There is a bridge commandment. And the bridge commandment has to do with both our relationship to God and others. And the commandment, it has a connection that has to do with both. Can anybody tell me which commandment that is? A commandment that tells us about our relationship with God and others? Anyone know? Yes, Kenda. That's not the commandment, though, but it's like that. That's super close. Anybody know? It's the one about rest. It's the Sabbath. So we're supposed to focus on God, but we're also supposed to give other people rest. We're supposed to rest so we can focus on God, and we're supposed to give other people rest. All right. Oh, gosh, maybe by the end of today's sermon, we'll do better, and I can give out these last three cards. All right. We only have one passage of Scripture today. It's Exodus 20, 17, and it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, their male or female slave, ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Let's pause for a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we pray that you help our focus to be on you. This is one simple passage of Scripture, and yet it's one that we really have difficulty following. Guide us today as we connect with you. Enable us to do better at this, to focus better on you, and to remember always that we are a people who have been provided freedom by a God who loves us immensely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So at the end of January, if you remember, we were rear-ended, and because of the big backlog at the auto body shop, it took 3 months just to get the car in and on their schedule. And then because of difficulty in getting parts, we just got our car back on Friday. The other driver's insurance covered our rental car, and it was an Infiniti Sport Utility. It was a luxury tank. It cost more than $100 to fill it up, and it got pitiful gas mileage.
You don't have to drive a luxury tank right now to really find filling your gas tank a painful experience. But have you thought about what fills your tank? Have you thought about not your car, but what fills you up and how costly it is? Because we fill our hearts and our souls with all kinds of stuff. Some of it a lot more costly than even what we're experiencing at the pumps. And that's why this one little passage is so important, and we focus a whole week on just this one verse. Because if you think about it, many of the other sins originate with this one sin. People steal because they want what they don't have and they can't afford it. People kill, often because they want something so badly that they're willing to take another's life to get it. People commit adultery because they want someone other than the person that they've committed their life to. And yet, so often, when what we're so certain will fill our tank, will make our hearts and our souls happy, ends up costing us way more than we could imagine or way more than we would willingly pay if we understood the cost. The last commandment deals with the desires of the heart. And God's word on remaining in the freedom that he's provided for us are, do not covet. We know that it's important by the fact that it's the only of the Ten Commandments that is repeated. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's spouse. As I said earlier, many, perhaps even most, of the sins that we deal with start with when we want something that belongs to someone else. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples. King David, if you remember, set his eyes on Bathsheba. It was Uriah's wife. The king had plenty of access to women in the palace, but he wanted Bathsheba too, and so he took her. And when she became pregnant, he arranged for Uriah and the entire army that he was leading to be abandoned in the midst of the battle. They were all killed, and it all started with coveting. He wanted the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. He was controlled by lust instead of being controlled or guided by God. Another example, Cain and Abel submitted their offerings to God. Abel, a shepherd, the firstborn, gave the firstborn of his flock, the best of the first flock. Cain, a farmer, gave some of his less desirable produce. And God accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. Cain was so angry that he killed his brother. He wanted God's favor. Here's the thing. He had God's favor. God loved Cain and Abel equally, and he told Cain as much. In Scripture, he says, just bring me your best offering, and I'll accept it just like I did your brothers. But Cain couldn't hear those words because of his anger. We don't have to earn God's favor. If you hear one thing today, that's what I want you to hear. You don't have to earn God's acceptance or love. It is already yours. Those things are ours because of who God is. We've had that affirmed over and over again in Scripture. Living into the fullness of life, however, requires our action, which means we put God first. We reach out to God, who allows us then to reach out to others. We have long been a materialistic, greedy society. It goes all the way back to the beginning of time, and yet it seems like this sense of entitlement continues to just grow and grow until it's out of control. The area of coveting is something that has become so normal that it's sometimes hard to even identify, especially in our own hearts. Let me remind you, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are set apart. We are God's children for whom he desires the very best. We're supposed to look different than the rest of the world. We're supposed to be different than the rest of the world. Today we're in church, so I'm going to address some church issues. You know, churches and individuals within the church covet just like those outside these walls. We want the church like the church down the street. Wouldn't it be awesome if our numbers matched their numbers? And maybe that would happen if we had their choir director or that youth minister or a children's ministry like that one, outreach that was effective as the outreach at other churches. If our building was half the size or as new and modern as that church, or if we had a church for college students, then surely God's favor would be upon us and we would be all that God intended us to be. We would be living into God's favor. It's not wrong to want wonderful, exciting ministries for your church. The problem is when we want what others have, we lose focus on what God is doing in and through us. When we label God's favor as something that's given elsewhere and neglected to us, we miss how much God loves us and the incredible work that He's doing in and through us. I've given you biblical examples, but let me give you a personal example. My parents didn't attend church with me. My mom usually dropped me off at the back door of the Baptist church. I had lots of friends at church, and all of them sit with their families during worship, and I sat with one of them. It didn't really bother me until my cousin moved to Tonkawa and invited me to church at the Christian church, where all of the youth sat up in the balcony and the parents sat downstairs. And I wasn't the only one who attended church without my parents. There was something that was comforting about not being different than everyone else, so I started attending there. I was at church every time the doors opened, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, on Wednesday night. No one ever made me go. I went because I wanted to be there. Years later, and lots of story in between, I was serving in ministry at that church. It was so important. I wanted a church family. I wanted to sit together and worship. I wanted to gather with the other families after church at the local diner. I wanted a dad who prayed over our meals and to have parents that served and were involved in church. I wanted what I thought everyone else had, and now we were a church family. Only it wasn't what I had imagined in my head. It was a struggle to get the kids up and out the door on time, and they did not always act perfect or look perfect. And sometimes Rick was just as uncooperative as the kids. I expected that everyone not only be present, but by golly, they needed to enjoy and appreciate that we were a church family. They were growing up in church. I focused more on teaching my kids to follow a moral code and compass. And that's not wrong, because discipline and teaching is our job as parents. But it is wrong to lose focus of the most important privilege of all. And that's introducing your family to a God who loves them, who wants nothing more than to be known by them and to know they are known by Him. You remember, God first, others next. We can't get those things out of order or we will mess it up every single time. And don't get me wrong, because I have so many amazing memories of VBS and church camps and youth group and events and activities. And it was such an incredible blessing to be a part of that as a family. But my kids used to often say, well, Mom, you're not the same with the youth group kids as you are with us. And I would quickly respond, because it's not the same. I'm your parent. I'm their youth leader. They still share stories about that, those chaotic mornings when nothing was going according to schedule and Mom was frustrated and at her wit's end, and the phone would ring and the person on the other end of the line would get a totally different version of Mom. Hello, hey, yeah, everything's great. We're just here doing a little morning prayer and praise time. Hallelujah. Now I understand. What they were seeing was the result of coveting. And the really sad thing is, what I was coveting probably never existed in the first place. It's funny how what we think we want is probably very far from reality. I know now that none of those families I sat with in church were perfect, They weren't the perfect family that I imagine. Most of what I think we want doesn't really satisfy like what we think it will. But God is ever faithful. Even in our messy chaos, God creates beauty, and that's where we need to focus, not on the perfect family. Focus on the fact that it's the family that God gave you, that His favor is upon you, not on the perfect church. It's the church where God placed you. His favor is here now. Focus on where God is and what God's doing and be involved in that work. God has done such incredible work in our household, and I am so grateful. We are not perfect. I am not perfect. But God does some pretty amazing things with imperfection. And here's the good news. I'm fully aware that there is not a parent alive that does not have regrets, that hasn't gained wisdom and insight that they wish they would have had when they were younger. But we serve a God who offers us fresh mercies and new grace every single day. Our greatest goal is to introduce others to the God of salvation, to the God of grace and mercy and love. And yes, I may have messed that up lots of times in the past, but I have new breath today, and I have a new chance today, and I will keep striving and trying until there is no breath left in my body. You know, we can't do it on our own. We can't do and be what we want to be if our hearts aren't pure. If we want what others have, then we're doomed to fail. We're filling our tanks with expensive fuel that does nothing but cause damage. Our heart's desires will always lead us astray unless our hearts are filled and directed by the Holy Spirit. We're to focus on God and then focus on neighbor. God's word directs us to focus up and then focus out. If you remember from last week, that is the sign of the cross. Is your heart filled with your own desires? It's Romans 3:23 through 28 says this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works. The Ten Commandments is God's word, providing instruction and counsel on maintaining the freedom that God has provided for His children. But that's not all. God gave us Jesus. And Jesus gave His life as a ransom for those times that we walk right back into that bondage. We have instructions for freedom, and we have faith for freedom. How incredibly cool is it that we wrap up our Ten Commandments series on Independence Day? Guys, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that is truly something to celebrate. Amen.